you know, it, as Pat said, you know, there's only so much to watch. And, you know, he hasn't had a lot of NFL experience. We liked him down in Carolina in the draft. Had him pretty highly rated. So, you know, it's kind of like having a Christmas present or a Hanukkah present, and you get to unwrap it eventually. I thought I was done. I was excited.
You picked McCaffrey top 10 last year. A common theory that you can get running backs later in the draft with Saquon Barkley. Where do you fall on?
You know, and your name is? Ryan. You know, the bottom line is the guy a football player? I mean, you know, it's this whole myth of devaluing running backs. You know, I find it kind of comical. You know, at the end of the day, if he's a great player, he's a great player. It doesn't make a difference what position it is. But the other thing that sometimes listening to Pat, hey, Joe, how you doing? Good. At the same time, you know, listening to Pat, sometimes I think it gets lost in the sauce. Football is the ultimate team game. Now, you blow a whistle, 11 guys got to go out there, okay, both offense, defense, and special teams. And everybody's got to understand every player is important. And that's why when you're, you know, looking at the second pick of the draft like we are, you know, the first thing we have to determine is this guy worthy of being the second pick of any draft, not just this year's draft, of any draft. And then you make that determination and you move forward. So positioned, you know, I mean, Joe and Bill have seen my act down there. You know, if he's a great player, I don't care how stacked we are at that position, we're taking him. It's all about accumulating talent. Well, you know, really and truly, obviously I think about it. You know, it's a monster puzzle that we're putting together, and there's other things that you got to look at as well. You know, obviously we know that. You know, if you don't have a queue, it's going to be a long season. We know that, but you know, we'll come to the right conclusion. You know, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting class. I mean, all shapes, sizes, all flavors. I mean, this is like Howard Johnson's back in the day. You know, it's a real interesting group. I'm excited about meeting some of these guys on, you know, here. It's going to be fun. And obviously we'll be busy, you know, once the combine's over, visiting, and you have your 30 private visits. So that'll be part of the process. So it's a really interesting, eclectic group.
How important is that combine interview for
quarterbacks? You know, it's only 15 minutes. You know, Jordan, at the end of the day, you know, really and truly, can you really know anybody in 15 minutes? I mean, you know, it's like speed dating. You know, so, you know, at the end of the day, it's you know, it's an introduction. Well, you know, nobody wants the one to go down, and then you don't want to get there, you know, Paul. But you know, at the end of the day, you evaluate, you bring in the guys that you believe in, you go through camp, and again, you know, when you start camp, you know, your roster shuffling doesn't stop. You know, roster building is a 12-month season. It's just the way it is. And you've got to understand that things happen. You know, players become available, and you've got to be willing to pull the trigger, and we will do that.
How much does Davis Webb's presence on the roster affect your decision-making when it comes to
the quarterback? You know, I mean, like I said before, you know, we had him, you know, highly rated. You know, Pat thinks highly of him, and, you know, there's just a small NFL sample size. I mean, you know, it's all part of it.
Will you bring him against the quarterbacks coming out of the hole as well?
It's a pretty good idea, Paul. You know, Kim, it's a hell of a question. I'm sorry, a good question. At the end of the day, if you watch football, okay, the NFL, you know, obviously the college game is, a lot of it's really different. If you watch how it's evolved, it's changed. I mean, style, whatever. But really and truly, if you watch the teams that win, in the NFL, you got quarterbacks that are making plays from the pocket, and you got offensive lines that are running old school NFL runs with little twists. So it's really imperative that, you know, everybody's got two O-line coaches. It's really imperative that they be great teachers, because some, like you said, Kim, some of these kids. I mean, there are guys that start for 4 years, and the only time they have their hand in the dirt is if they fall down. You know, they're 2 points the whole time. Occasionally you'll see them in a 4-point on the goal line. But, you know, your two O-line coaches have got to be great teachers. And then the other thing you have to do is you've got to get them as many reps as possible. There's a theory that you need 5,000 reps before you're really ready. I don't know if I subscribe to it, but if you think about it, now obviously that doesn't mean just on the field, that's practice as well. But, you know, it takes time. Think about all the positions on the field. What's the most awkward? You know, you think it's natural for a 320-pound kid to back up and do this? It's really not natural. They want to come off, and we teach them that. But it's become more difficult, but when you evaluate hog mollies, you have to be patient. You have to take your time. So you look for the things that all the great ones can do. Hey, Darren, how you doing? A little incognito with the beard there. So anyhow, you have to look at all the basics. Does he play with a base? Can he roll his hips? Can he do this? Can he do that? And you'll find those guys that are in 2 points that can do that.
Can you see all of that here in the
drills here? A little bit. It's helpful. But it's really with the pads on. You need the pads.
Dave, how open for business are you at two? And would you deem it a buyer's market or a seller's market with all these teams?
You know, there's so much stuff going around. Are we open for business? I want to make any decision I make is going to be in the best interest of the New York Football Giants, plain and simple. So if someone makes me an offer I can't refuse, would I move back? It depends upon who's there. Because, again, if there's a guy worthy of being the second pick of a draft, and what we're basically saying, if we answer that question to the affirmative, you're drafting what you think is going to be a Hall of Fame player. Okay, so you can't get too cute about the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, do you see it, though? How do you see the market, the buyer, seller?
You know, we're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out. How you doing?
Good. What would be your understanding level if Odell were to take the position of wanting a deal done without participating in any team activities from the standpoint of having gotten injured last year and really even being more hypervigilant about that?
Okay, let me say this to you guys. All right, and Joe Person and Darren and Jordan are going to start laughing. I don't talk about contracts. I don't talk about negotiations. I believe that's personal, and it's between the club and the player. Okay, so I'm not going to speculate. Just take it. We'll see what happens. That's all.
Dave, when you evaluated your own offensive line, you watched the tape last year. We have a lot of decisions to make there. Justin Pugh, T.J. Kluger, you know, at center, et cetera. Like, what did you see? What did you like? Do you still believe it needs total revamping? Do you see a lot of positive?
You know, you have to be practical. You have to be realistic. All right. When I watched the offensive line, you know they had a ton of injuries. So, I mean, the last group that finished the season in Washington, what I really liked is they played tough. They were physical. They got after it, and they did a really nice job. You know, listen, I said in my opening presser, I'm not going to lie to anybody. I mean, give me a break. But we're gonna do it piece by piece. And if the right guy's there, we'll make a move.
How do you view Justin Pugh?
I'm sorry?
How do you view Justin Pugh?
He's a versatile, smart football player. And, I mean, really, he's a four-hole guy, which is unusual. And, you know, we're still in our evaluation process, and we're going to figure it out.
What's your thoughts on
I'm sorry?
Through your evaluation process, in terms of, I know it's probably way too early to think about draft board, but for you personally, you come here with a pecking order at number two in your mind, and maybe you made a list, or how do you approach
that? No, it's we had our readings in February. Okay, we went through the first time. Now we're gathering information. We get to the draft in April. All right, we'll add all the new information. And then we do this crazy thing called have a discussion. Okay, so, you know, and you know, Pat's involved, obviously, very involved in the draft. And we'll talk it through. And at the end of the day, I believe in collaboration. I believe in communication. Everybody in that room is going to say their piece, and then it falls on me to make a decision. You know, but I have no preconceived notions. I just don't.
Where do you stand on Eli Apple?
Where do I stand?
Eli Apple. I'm not even standing up.
Okay, no.
Where do you stand on
Eli
Apple?
It's a new day.
What you heard from him and
we had a nice visit. You know, Eli came in, and we talked for about 25 minutes, a half an hour, and had a good visit, and broke bread, so to speak. And I told him, it's clean. Let's go. So that's where we're at.
You would expect him to be on the roster next year?
I would expect him to show up April. You know, I hope he shows up April 9th. How's that? Well, they just, you know, I think, Joe, I think you need to check with Mr. Okay? It happened. You know, I said it publicly, Joe. You know, it's any time something like that happens, there's a different, you know, we all have to understand that we're complicit. We're all complicit, okay? So I have to step back and be honest, and I've got a great wife that'll make me do that. And you know, Joanne doesn't pull any punches. And you have to understand that when there's a difference of opinion between people, you know, you guys have all had arguments, and you ladies have all had arguments with people. If you have a difference of opinion, somewhere in the middle is where it should be. And, you know, it's his franchise. He made a decision, and here I am.
What's your thoughts on Janoris's consistency level and your comfort level with that when you look at, you know, comparison of play, how he played in San Francisco to how he contributed in the game afterwards? I'm not talking contract. I know the guaranteed money is done in his contract, so I'm just curious how you feel about Janoris Jenkins' consistency level and work ethic.
You know, we can all be more consistent, you know, all of us in our daily lives. You know, Janoris is a very good football player. And you know what? It's like I've said to guys, every time you guys write an article, are you writing a Pulitzer Prize winner? No. Okay, every decision I make, is it the right one? No. But at the end of the day, we try to get better. And Janoris is a very talented, gifted player, and I've gotten to know him a little bit, and I'm excited he's a New York football giant.